Hi, hello again, friends and neighbors. I am Logan, Loganity Morris, and this is Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 17, titled A Night in Nashville. And I'm here to tell you, folks, you know what I'm thrilled about? Great people like Colin Best, whom I love like a brother. I mean, I love this man. But when it comes to the Vortex Theory, he is what they call in Polar Express a doubter. And guess what? There was tons of rain in the forecast for Nashville later on in the evening, and not a sprinkle, not a drop, nothing. Just it was drier than our climate. So with that, let's bring on the best man, allow him to defend himself. He's the best co-host I've ever seen. He's the senior open wheel guru on this show and everywhere else. And look, he'll hunt down a city council member if he needs to. Let's bring him in. Colin Best, you senior open wheel vortex doubter. I think we're tied. You and I, as far as vortex theory goes, are tied at one on the season. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Good to be back, Logan. I got to be honest with you. It's been a very emotional day. I just want to yell at somebody, and thankful over the next hour I can. But look, I you brought that up over the weekend, and I got to be honest with you. I was looking at the weather radar before the race even started, and it didn't even look like rain was going to affect the race at all. So that's my point. The vortex theory had nothing to do with it. If the vortex theory mattered, then why did it rain at Indianapolis GP last year? Why does it rain at Monaco? Why does it rain at any racetrack? And to be honest with you, why did it rain at the 24-hour Le Mans? There's cars going around the track all the time, and yet rain still falls. Confirmation bias at its best. That's all it is. That's all it is. And you can sit here and tell me that, oh, you know, vortex theory works. Look, DW, as much as I love him, he's kind of old, kind of washed up. He should be in the SRX series because that's where all the veteran drivers go when they just can't hack it anymore in the Cup Series.
Wow.
What? Did I say anything wrong? Did I say anything wrong?
I don't know if it's inaccurate per se, but it's not very kind.
I'm just not in a very kind mood. I'm in a very opposition mood. This should be the fieriest episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour we've ever had. Well, because everything that you're probably going to say is probably going to irritate me, and I'm going to disagree with you. So, hey, you know, we'll get things out. I still love you like a brother. It's not personal.
Oh,
it's
just, certainly not.
If you go into reporting, just know you may have a couple beers at the end of the day. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, the vortex theory works in my view because Nashville stayed dry. But we'll discuss that all year long. Here's a man that let's bring in a man from Canada, and let me tell you what, he is making our climate down here a little bit hazy. Look, Adam, I know you said you wanted to have the world's largest bonfire. Let's bring him in here. Adam Carabine, the show creator. This thing's got to stop. I mean, this thing's awful hazy.
Listen, first of all, you are closer to the East Coast than I am. I am on the West Coast. I am not a smoker. I did not light anything on fire. I suggested in our little chat that maybe you could shoot at it and then maybe it might go away, just it like might. You try to do with all your other problems in America.
It could.
Apparently, we're all fired up today.
Canada's had two tragedies in the last week. One involves underwater and one's above in the sky.
Look, you're right. That was an absolute okay. Grapevine fires by day. Okay. Well, I don't know if we got the copyright
solid
for that.
Tune, solid tune. Thanks, Peggy.
Do we have the copyright for that? That's going to be an issue.
I'll put in a good word with Ben Gibbard, see what he's a Seattle guy. We're close.
I know you've got all friends in high places.
Anyways, it's good to be here, guys, and let's have a great show.
Boy, we're on one tonight, ain't we?
Yeah, I think so. But it might make for some good hashtag content. You know?
Hashtag.
What he just says, he has friends in high places, and just like us in America, we have friends in low places.
That's right.
I got friends
in low places.
I have a bone to pick with Garth Brooks.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Producer Peggy, everyone. We hadn't even brought her in yet. She's fired up too. Let's hear it.
Garth Brooks makes you put your phone in a little bag and tie it up, and you can't access it during the show, which is fine. Garth, if you think you're that special that we want to take pictures of you. But you know what? You know what? What about the people who have family emergencies or have like a glucose monitor on their arm and need to check their sugar? Are you that important, Garth? Like,
well, and also that means I wouldn't get to watch the Garth Brooks concert through Peyton's Snapchat story as well. So exactly. I'm missing
out. The moment, Peg. If you have low sugar, just eat Reese's. You'll be fine.
I've seen him two times, and this was before he implemented it, and I felt no need to take any pictures. You're not that important, Garth.
Well, with that.
I mean, where do we go? Where do we go from there?
I'm not sure we do.
I mean, where do we go from there? I mean,
all country music's bad, Peggy. Just. Say everyone who's watching in Nashville right now, just say they all suck.
I will gladly marry Dwight Yoakam right here, right now.
Okay, who's Dwight Yoakam? I don't care.
You don't like a little fast as you? That's wild. Come on now. Guitar, right, Cadillac, hillbilly music. Okay.
Mr. Loganity, you are the host, and I'm going to get you to get this thing back on the rails before we move directly to closing time.
This is the one time I didn't take it off the rails.
Yeah, let's get back on board like Ryan Blaney did last week. Oh no, no, he hit the wall.
Wait a minute! Wow.
I know, I'm a little feisty today. I don't know why. I'm so sorry.
I'll tell you what. This show.
Drink some water. Drink some water.
This show is going down like, I don't know, something like the Titanic. This is wild. Right. This is wild.
Too soon.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
RIP to all of them.
Yes. Shall we get into our weekend review, Logan?
Yeah, let's do a weekend review, bro. Let's do a weekend review.
I forgot we had a reason to talk about.
Yes, we all hate I hate tragedies, but it's the way it goes. All right, NASCAR was at Nashville, and the NHRA and our founder was at Norwalk, meaning he was back in the quote-unquote beloved Buckeye state. He didn't even give me a call.
I was going to say, did you run into him? No?
Well, the term run into with me is really offensive, but no. All right, Carson Hocevar got the Truck Series win. Of course, he's building momentum. You know, some people think he might be taking over that 8 car for Junior Motorsports next year now that Josh Berry is going. So every win is bigger for him, given the fact that he could be in line for a big opportunity. Carson Hocevar really feels like he's coming into his own. Did you guys get a chance to watch this truck race, Colin? And if so, what'd you think? And you know, you've probably heard the Carson Hocevar Junior Motorsports rumors. Touch on that for a second.
Yeah, so briefly, I caught the end of it, and it was shaping up to be a very exciting race where Carson Hocevar was kind of on old tires, and he was being caught up. I forget who was in second place, but a late caution did fly. which led that to a green-white checker, and Carson Hocevar was able to hold on and get the win. But really the big story kind of from the Truck Series race outside of Carson Hocevar was Lawless Allen and Haley Deegan getting into it in lap three. Not saying they're both talented drivers. I mean, Lawless Allen's pretty big to speak on his issues right now. But, you know, I think for Carson Hocevar, I think he's Cup Series ready. I don't think he should be going to Xfinity Series. I think he should jump straight into a Cup Series ride. I think it's easier to go from Truck Series to the Cup Series than it is from the Xfinity Series to the Cup Series, because you kind of have to relearn how to drive. Whereas the Truck Series and the current Cup Series car is kind of the same. You kind of run both of those cars the same. They both have pretty much the same amount of horsepower. They both have the same amount of downforce on both of their cars. So to me, Carson Hocevar did a great job in that Spire Motorsports 7 car at Gateway. He was running in the top 15, could have got a top 10 finish, but luckily there were some car issues. But for me, outside of Josh Berry, if anyone's looking for a Cup Series ride, it should be Carson Hocevar at the top of that list.
Adam, touch on that before we move it along. Do you think Carson Hocevar is Cup Series ready? Cup Series ready?
It's I mean, he was the one they tagged to fill in when Chase Elliott was under suspension, I believe it was. And they had Corey LaJoie move to the number 9. They had him fill in. Colin's thirsty today. My goodness. They had him filling in, and you know, he didn't look completely out of place. You know, the 7 car is not necessarily the top equipment in the field, but I don't know. You know, it's only one race. It's kind of, you know, not enough of a sample size, but I could see it. The question would be more, what's you know, what sort of ride is available to him at the end of this season? So
that's a fair point. We want to know what you think. Let us know in the comments. Do you think Carson Hocevar is ready for the Cup Series, or should he be taking it one step at a time, or should he be double jumping as Colin Best suggests? Let us know in the comments. We'll be sure to read them and tell you why we think you're right on point. Anywho, Xfinity Series wise, AJ Allmendinger got it done for Colleague Racing, and hey, they're trophy hunters, and they haven't had many trophies lately, but there's one. You know, AJ Allmendinger capable of winning on any track. He's just an incredibly talented driver. I personally, hot take here.
Oh, have we lost Logan there?
Oh, he's still here. It's a you issue, Adam.
Is that a me issue? Hello.
That's an issue. What do you mean? I'm looking fine. That's an issue. Not an issue. Anywho, I think AJ Allmendinger, hot take. I've said that he's been a bit of a disappointment in the Cup Series. I thought he might be a dark horse for a championship run. You know, I don't know if he was going to get to the Final Four per se, but I really thought, and I know we've only had the two road courses in the Cup Series, but I really thought he was going to surprise some people. And it's not that it's too late for that. It's never too late, really. But I thought that he was going to really surprise people, and that hasn't happened. But back to the Xfinity Series, AJ Allmendinger gets it done. What do you is there anything that Allmendinger can translate from the Xfinity Series to the Cup Series? Because again, he's sitting 20th in points right now, I think, right, you know, firmly on that playoff bubble. Is there anything you can translate besides confidence when you finally break through in any series?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he does have experience on his side, right? So, and he's been in the Cup Series before, so he knows the level of the talent that he's competing against on a weekly basis. But I mean, this car is completely different, and for what we've seen all year, Colleague really hasn't had the speed that most other Chevy teams have had, like the Trackhouse Racing and Hendrick and RCR has had at times this year. I wouldn't say Austin Dillon, but Kyle Busch has had speed this year. But, I mean, for him, I thought Colleague did a great job. I mean, Allmendinger did a great job both days. I mean, he did go in the Xfinity Series race, but he did get a top 10 finish at Nashville during the Cup Series race. So for me, it looks like Colleague as a whole, Xfinity and Cup program is trending upwards. And maybe AJ Allmendinger needed a break to finally get in the right headspace. For me, I mean, looking at the Xfinity Cup Series schedule for him, I mean, we're going to a lot of road courses. We're going to a lot of tracks that suit his driving style. And also we have a super speedway race in there in Atlanta next week. So, you know, for me, I think there are some in sports, there's a right time to hit good momentum and there's a bad time to get momentum. I mean, you can start the season strong and then slump towards the end and not do anything. what you kind of want to do is hit it now. So the next nine-ish weeks or so, you can make your way into a playoff spot, whether that be points or by getting a win. And there are certainly a number of tracks where AJ Allmendinger can get a win in the Cup Series moving forward. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think if anyone has a shot of making a top 16, which I think that's what it'd be, a first round playoff run for the 16 team, AJ Allmendinger must be at the top of the list for everybody because of the tracks that are coming up. So I think experience plus added confidence. Kelly Yarborough said confidence adds 10 extra horsepower. So, I mean, for AJ Allmendinger, that could be the difference between finishing 15th every single week and getting top 10s from here on out.
And that certainly adds up. Hard to believe that we are already just 9 to go into the playoffs. And while that's still a fair amount of races, it's incredible to think we're already that close as we hit the summertime stretch. Ross Chastain got the win on Sunday. That is it was a great weekend for Trackhouse as a whole. But you can see the fact that Ross got the first career pole for Trackhouse. It was a great weekend. They kicked it off right, getting the pole first time. And then keep in mind, Trackhouse is one of those few teams that aren't based in the North Kakalaki. They're based in their home is in good old Rocky Top, Tennessee. So big time win for Trackhouse. I thought it was solid racing. I mean, really, as far as races go, you know, if this is what Nashville provides, keep it on the schedule time and time again. But here's the issue, if you will. It's obvious that they're wanting to bring Nashville back as a bigger racing community. Of course, they get the post race show and all, or the postseason award show and all that sort of thing. But it's really interesting to me, you know, because we have the fairgrounds, we have Super Speedway, and so what do you do? When, to me, Nashville this weekend provided great racing, great, great racing. And so what do you do when you're debating on, do we do Nashville Super Speedway? Do we bring back the fairgrounds? We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, Ross Chastain, and we'll kick it off with you this time, Adam. Ross Chastain gets it done. We were wondering if he'd been neutered, for lack of a better term. He had a sit down with Justin Marks after Mr. H put his foot down. When Mr. H talks, all right, everybody listens. And so we wondered, was Ross Chastain had he lost his edge? Was he a little fearful even to make a little noise after Rick Hendrick had made his noise? So can we put that discussion to bed, Adam? Is Ross Chastain back? Is that the watermelon man ready to go on a roll? What do you think?
I think it was definitely a statement win on multiple fronts for Ross Chastain. They made kind of a big deal of it on the broadcast about how it was a clean win as well. There was no kind of funny business that led to him winning. He just literally won it on pure speed and talent, I guess you could say. And I think that was important just to show that he was able to do that. He's only got 2 Cup Series wins, right? And one of them was kind of that crazy ending at COTA where he kind of bashed around and made his way to the finish line first. And then the other one was at a super speedway at Talladega. So, you know, those ones, you know, a road course certainly requires a certain amount of talent and stuff, but you can certainly luck your way into a super speedway win more than you can at a traditional oval. So to win at a traditional oval, to win in a clean fashion, and to win right now, just after he's been kind of called out about whether, you know, has he been neutered? Has he been, you know, has he taken away his edge because he's trying to race cleaner? I don't know. I think it was a great statement win for him. And I don't know if he was ever gone necessarily. I think when you've only got 2 Cup Series wins, I don't know if you can completely leave yet or if you can't be completely there necessarily. So I think, I think it's a sign of good things to come for Chastain, but we'll have to see a little bit more.
My good buddy Travis Knapper said he thinks that Kyle Petty said it best. We're seeing an involved the evolved Chastain. It's not all old, but it's not all new, neutered either. He was more patient and calculated with his aggression. I think that's a good way of putting it. What say you, Colin, on that comment?
I mean, my first thought is the Dale Jr. download. What the F does Kyle Petty got to do with this? But I think, you know, in my opinion, the past couple weeks, ever since Darlington, I really don't think that car has had the speed necessarily to compete. I think that Ross Chastain still had the aggressiveness the entire time. He just didn't have a car to do anything with it. And the finishes he got at those racetracks were the finishes that he could muster up with those things. But having a week off, coming to Nashville, which is the home of Trackhouse Racing, it's kind of like, you know, their homecoming. They have to show up for this race. One of the two did. And Ross Chastain certainly was probably one of the fastest cars. I would say Martin Truex Jr., sorry, I mean, as much as Adam would love to hear this, I think Martin Truex Jr. had the car to beat. I think in terms of long run speed and short run speed, Truex was on it all night. But Ross Chastain just found something in the later race, which led him to go on to get the win. So props to Ross Chastain for getting his first traditional oval win. I think that's very big for him. Now he has a win. Now he's guaranteed ish a spot in the playoffs. We're still 9 races ago. We still have 11 winners on the season, and there's a possibility we can get to 16 way before the playoffs even start. So I wouldn't say that Ross Chastain is in so far, but he's now in the playoffs more than likely, which is now dangerous for the entire rest of the field, because last year he almost didn't win a championship. He was literally two spots from winning a championship. And I would have put it past him to bump someone out of the way at Phoenix on the last lap to win a championship. That's just his driving style. He'll go for it. He'll bring the checkered flag home or steering wheel. And I appreciate that of Ross Chastain. So to me, this just, like I said with AJ Allmendinger, good finishes lead to higher momentum. Look out for Ross Chastain for the rest of the regular season, as he can probably get more wins before we go to Darlington in September.
Darlington, my favorite
race. I will say, like, with someone like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. having to win and being in the playoffs as well, I think Chastain's a safe bet to make it. Just I'm looking at like 144 points higher than Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So it looks like he's 207 points above the cut line right now. With one win, I think that's a safe margin. I'm willing to put money on Ross Chastain's going to make the playoffs.
I mean, if he gets hurt, which, I mean, is a possibility with this next gen car, that's 3 races. That's a 3 race gap that he has. And if he misses 3 races and we have 16 winners, he has to point his way into the playoffs.
We could be looking at a brand new winner this weekend as we come to what is arguably the biggest wild card of the season with the Chicago Street Course. We'll touch on in depth here in a little bit. I got to tell you, though, Colin, I completely disagree with you in the sense of, well, he just didn't have the car. No, something was different. He lost his edge. He lost his mojo, baby, as Austin Powers would say. There was something different. He got it talking to, and I think it tamed him a little bit. And I do think that there were some differences in the driving style. You know, for instance, wasn't he in that 3-wide battle? That, you know, wouldn't be anything for him to not scuff up a tire there. So I completely disagree with you in the sense of, like, no, I think it was obvious that I think his confidence was a little shaken, because arguably, you know, the biggest name in the sport as far as giving opinions out, because Rick Hendrick is not anybody else, frankly. Everybody else kind of doles out opinions like they're paid for it, even if they're not. It is hard to get Mr. H to speak negatively about somebody so directly. And so that was an earth-shattering take, and I think it made him go, not necessarily him at the moment, but I think once Justin Marks took notice and agreed, they sat down and talked, because you can call it a quidinkidink if you want to, but why did it take Rick Hendrick, the Rick Hendrick, for Justin Marks and Ross Chastain to finally sit down and talk about the driving style? I think it took him a few weeks to adjust to kind of, like Travis and Kyle Petty said, kind of the mix of the new and the old. I completely disagree with you. I don't think it had anything to do with speed. Yeah, I obviously don't know that, neither do you, but it just felt like something was off. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see if that is the moment, the big breakthrough, if you will. The big win sometimes can be the breakthrough, and then sometimes it's just we're looking for more of that. You know, think of Ricky Stenhouse. The win was the breakthrough, but Denny Hamlin Yes, he got the win at Kansas, still not having a great season. Anywho, let's move it along. NHRA got some winners this weekend. Talk to us about it, Adam.
Before we even get to that, actually, I wanted to just touch on something you mentioned earlier, Logan, about the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Sure. Yeah, I was just, I noticed on, I'm going to say on J-Ski, they had reported on something. I know we're not into the happy hour headlines yet, but it just quick little update on that. They had an analysis done of the Fairgrounds Speedway to see kind of in what state it was in. And this like independent commission found that it's going to cost it more than $40 million to get it back to a usable condition. So not looking good, probably not going to happen anytime in the next season or two, but I just wanted to add that in there as you were talking about the fairgrounds. So
you was that a report from the Speedway or from the city camp, from like the city council?
It's a Metro Nashville consultant.
Because, okay, so because the renderings of Nashville Fairgrounds, I've seen them. But that track, if you put safer barriers around it, is usable. I mean, the super late model races happen all the time. The All-American 400 has been going on for years and years and years. Sells that place out. I don't think you need to even update the Series 4 Cup Series competition. Leave it the way it is. You'd sell it out. You'd make that ticket way more important, and people would watch it on TV. It's like old school.
Yeah, it would be North Wilkesboro-esque. If you have to truly spend the money, spend the money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with spending it. I just don't shoot the messenger, Colin. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
He's worried about city council members again. Anyways, I will tell you quickly just about NHRA. They were up in your neck of the woods there, Mr. Logan, up at Norwalk. And we had in the Pro Stock Motorcycles, we had Hector Arana Jr. take the win. We had Matt Hartford in the Pro Stock category, Blake Alexander in Funny Car, and the Mrs. Tony Stewart, Leah Pruitt, won the Top Fuel Dragster race. Although I suppose it's not fair to call her that. She's got her own career going, and maybe he should be the Mr. Leah Pruitt. So
she's got more races than he is right now.
All I know is this. Pray for her, because living with Tony Stewart has got to be a chore.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it ain't a chore living with me, people. I'm just saying,
I was gonna say there's the pot calling the kettle black there, Logan.
No,
my fiance's in the next room.
No, that is the gray pot calling his kettle black. That's look, I'm not saying I'm not a problem, but I mean, Tony Stewart's interesting. Anywho,
I'm a joy to live with, just for the record. Thanks, everyone. Okay, bye.
I mean, that'd be some good off-season content. You know, we'll get Sheila in here and be like, how is Adam to live with?
Get all our spouses to come up on here.
We should do a significant others only show.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, they'll have an hour podcast on just the three of us. Anywho, yeah. It'd probably be our highest viewed show, who we can, because they're all much better looking than we are.
It'd be a version of the Better Half Dash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a racing episode of Wife Swap or something. Anywho, let's get to our happy hour headlines. Appreciate you, Ryan. I appreciate you. Give me those happy hour headlines, Peggy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only time I can
demand. So colorful, so neon.
That's the only time I can demand anything from her. If I ever speak to her like that once this show's over, she's going to give me the right hand of the face. It's not it's really a problem. So, but luckily it's like a cool breeze. Have you seen those little fists? They're so small. Anywho, Ryan, thank you for tuning in. Travis, thank you for tuning in. Keep those comments coming. Time for the happy hour headlines. For this first one, Adam, I want to kick it to you. Pretty serious topic. And I just want to, let's just talk on the facts really quickly about it.
Yeah, obviously, I'm sure everyone's heard about the family incident with Jimmy Johnson. At this point, I'm not necessarily willing to speculate much on anything. They're still in the midst of an investigation, but I can tell you kind of what we do know is that Jimmy Johnson's wife's parents and their 11-year-old nephew died following a fatal shooting in Oklahoma, and it is being investigated as a murder-suicide. Super sad, unfortunately, for the Jimmy Johnson family, extended family there. And unfortunately, Jimmy Johnson was slated to run a car in the Chicago street race this weekend for Legacy Motor Club, but he obviously they've withdrawn the 84. So there will be no 84 entry this weekend. And yeah, our thoughts are with Jimmy Johnson and extended family. And, you know, I don't know if we'll get a whole lot more info, to be honest, as this goes on. We may get kind of a result of an investigation, but I'm pretty sure the Legacy Motor Club and Jimmy Johnson are probably not going to comment on this again. So I'm not sure. I just felt it was important to bring it up in case someone's been living under a rock and has missed this big news over the last couple of days.
Certainly. It's a terrible tragedy and, you know, just awful, awful news. And, you know, it's horrible at any time to have a tragedy like this. I can't imagine what Jimmy Johnson's going through on top of the fact if you're trying to build a race team. Just awful, just awful. But let's move it along to better things. Brief thoughts on Josh Berry getting the four that was announced. We took an off week because there was an off week, and we got to rest these dulcet tones. Josh Berry is going to get in the four. The press conference made some headlines because Tony Stewart is still Tony Stewart. Opinions aside, he's a very blunt individual. He's not afraid to tell it like he sees it, and some people love that about him, and some people hate that about him. But by God, it gets an opinion. What do you think of Josh Berry officially getting the Ford? It's kind of the worst kept secret. It's that high school couple that you know, we all knew they liked each other. They just didn't know it yet. You know, that's one of those things. So I got to tell you, I'm going to start on this one. I got to tell you, my opinion is Stuart Haas is in some trouble. And I don't mean any disrespect to Josh Berry, but when the face of your team is now what is going to be a 33-year-old prospect, and that's what he is. Yes, I know he's had a good run in the number 9 car, and he's done incredible things being the substitute driver, but that's in Hendrick Chevrolet equipment. Right now, SHR is not bringing that kind of equipment to our knowledge, and when they are, it's because they're cheating. And even then, it ain't paying off. So I really wonder about the vitality of SHR going forward. I know that Josh Berry is likable. Everybody on this show likes him. You know, I know Ryan's a big fan of him. Travis is a big fan of him. Josh Berry is a likable individual. I mean, just he looks like the face you want to bring home to mom. But the reality is only Kevin Harvick is having a successful season for Stuart Haas. Everybody else, I mean, have completely fallen off the floor. And people want to say, well, before the penalty, Chase Briscoe was right on the playoff bubble. That is true, sir or madam. But the issue is now that even SHR is acknowledging there's something going on because they're swapping crew chiefs like, you know, dollar bills. I think that things, great opportunity for Josh Berry. Let me be clear on that. I want him to be successful. But I think SHR is in a whole lot of trouble. Adam, I know that you disagree with me on this, so let's make some good content here. What are your thoughts?
I do disagree. I was just going to say, though, you're not wrong about Chase Briscoe. I just was looking. If he had not had that penalty, he would currently be 22nd in points. So it's not going well there for sure. I don't know if it's because I have a soft spot for Josh Berry. I just think he's a great dude. I was telling Logan this too, like when we first got our kind of like NASCAR press credentials during the COVID year, Josh Berry was the first driver I got to interview. So, and he was lovely, and you know, that may color my opinion on him. I just think, you know what, I'm happy that someone like him, who is not necessarily a high funded driver, you know, like some of the others who are out there who are getting rides based on the sponsorship money they can bring in. I'm happy that someone who, you know, is more based on talent is getting a chance in the Cup Series. Do I agree with the way Tony Stewart kind of framed that? I don't know if I would have said it the same way, but I'm also Canadian, so I don't say anything that way. Ryan says Josh Berry's taken SHR to the moon. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but I think Josh Berry will do well in the four. I don't know if he'll be quite at Kevin Harvick level, but I think the only
way to go into the moon, Ryan, is if that moon is pulled down low, Bruce Almighty style. I mean, that's just
What a reference. What a reference.
That's just, well, you know, where he takes and laughs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm familiar with that. I'm just saying.
I want to be clear on this. I like Josh Berry too. If you're not a Josh Berry fan, check your pulse because he's a likable fella. I have no faith, none, in the Stuart Haas organization right now. Tony is checked out. He is checked out. He is more focused on drag racing and whatever else and SRX. It is just not there. And I don't know how many lackluster seasons they can have as a whole before people kind of see that, in my view, my opinion. And yes, Kevin Harvick continues to stand out, but he's a Hall of Fame driver with 60 wins. He's going to make chicken salad. So, but Eric Almirola is not a bad driver, yet he's having what might be a career worst season. And I'm talking about career worst even when you factor in his RPM numbers. Brian Priest, we know how talented he is on paper. But guess what? He's sitting 25th in the standings right now. You know who finished 25th in the standings last year? Cole Custer. I don't see it. It is the Kevin Harvick and Friends show. And they are, I mean, he is absolutely, it's, Kevin Harvick is Aaron Rodgers in his prime. The other three are the Green Bay Packers. The problem is it's not the traditional team sport. Colin, what say you? Am I way off base?
Partially. I'm still on the Josh Berry train. Look, it is nice to see in this day and age where you have guys who make it based on talent alone. And this guy has been one of the best late model stock drivers in the history of the late model stock division for the car store. Dale Earnhardt Jr. knows what he's doing to find a successful driver that will eventually make it to the Cup Series, regardless of age. And if we're talking about, yeah, he's 30, he's in his 30s, but when do drivers reach their peak? Around 38 years old in the Cup Series. That's when they reach their statistical peak in performance. So for me, he's 5 years away from that. So he still has to learn. The amount of racecraft that I've seen him do on the Cars Tour level, especially when he's come down to Five Flag Speedway and raced the Snowball Derby, was that this man was the fastest on 30-lap and 50-lap consecutive lap averages at Five Flag Speedway. And he holds the record for the fastest 50-lap consecutive average at Five Flag Speedway. This man knows how to save tires. He knows how to race, take care of a race car. And I don't think people are going to judge Josh Berry based on what Kevin Harvick did. And we're going to look at it like William Byron replacing Jeff Gordon. And then we're going to look at Alex Bowman replacing the 48. You know, we look at Ty Gibbs, looking at Kyle Busch. There's a lot of things that we look for. And Ty Gibbs has done a great job. Alex Bowman has done a great job. And now William Byron's had 3 wins so far this year. And he's the points leader if you look at the playoff sheet. So for me, I don't think I'm going to judge him too harshly because of where Stuart Haas Racing is. But also in the same time is that I think there are probably guys who can get up to speed quicker at the Cup Series level, like Carson Hocevar, like Zane Smith, who are just young guys who don't know any better, and they actually have speed. They can go fast. Whereas Josh Berry is your consistent guy who can kind of be the cornerstone of your team moving forward. That's what he's going to be. So in my opinion, I think this is a home run for Stuart Haas Racing. Maybe they can, you know, this is the future that they can go to. But there are certainly problems with SHR, and it's not Tony Stewart that's funding the thing. It's Gene Haas, who's also cheap in the F1 side. No, like, let's not forget that, too. He doesn't like to spend any money on his race teams, yet he still has them. So unless Gene Haas gets out of the picture, this is in my opinion, looking at it from an F1 perspective, unless he gets out of the picture, then SHR and his F1 team isn't really going to go anywhere in terms of performance.
Well, time will tell on all of this. Obviously,
I know you're concerned about his age, Logan, but I mean, Kevin Harvick's retiring now at age 47. Like, mm-hmm. If Barry makes it that far, that's a good 15 years of Josh Berry in the four.
Hey, Martin was winning in his 50s.
But hey, I'm not saying I won't be wrong. I hope that I am, and that's all right. I just won't admit that on this show, but privately to you guys in group chat, I might.
Bold prediction: Josh Berry is a future Cup Series champion, without a doubt.
That is high cotton, my boy. We shall see. We got to move it along. Adam, you got any final thoughts on this before we do?
I can just share this little stat that I found here. You were talking about Almirola. He is having his second worst season, but barely his second worst. It's almost the worst, and his worst season was 2016 with Richard Petty Motorsports. So
yeah. And RPM had much less funding. So yeah. Anywho, but we had to move it along. There's a lot to get to. Mm-hmm. Ryan Blaney had the big wreck at Nashville. There was no safer barrier on that inside wall he hit. It was the hardest hit he claims he's ever had. I think I can speak for everybody where I can say, if there's a possibility of it being hit at all, if there's a conceivable scenario, let's go ahead and spend the money on the safer barrier. Huh? I think we can all agree on that. I think we can get America can come together on that, because I think it's just inexcusable at this point to not have as much safer barrier as possible. Now, I understand, look, it's a business, and I understand cutting corners. I get it. We all do it. But you can't cut corners with safety. That's where you can't cut corners. That's, you know, it's not exactly popcorn. You don't get what you pay. You get what you pay for, period. That's it. So I'm really disappointed in NASCAR about that. Hopefully this fixes that issue. Anybody got some thoughts on that before we move it along?
I'll just quickly say, like, it's just unacceptable. This is ridiculous. And like, it's not like some weird fluky accident where he made it through some weird place and hit a particular little spot that was only concrete or something. Like, this is just the wall on the inside right after pit road. Like, what are they doing? Why is that not a safer barrier? Like, I don't understand. That is just absolutely crazy to me.
Pretty baffling. A couple of comments from Ryan Hill to get to that we missed here in the discussion for Josh Berry. He said he thought since Josh Berry was his guy that Logan wouldn't like him. No, Logan likes Josh Berry. I don't know about Ryan Hill. And then he said that Fords are down across the board this year. That is true. Fords, for some reason, they're not bringing the heat, so to speak. So that's interesting to point out. Ford is in a bit of a slump. We'll see if that evolves and changes as the summertime comes on. It's kind of classic Penske to come on around this time of year. So we'll see what happens. The media deal, they're still in the works. As we know, NASCAR's coming up on those media right deal. Looks like NASCAR's going to shy away from the Xfinity streaming series exclusively for the whole season. I think that's a good call. Let's be honest about that. The reality is, a lot of the older, quote-unquote, baby boomer generation watches NASCAR, and they haven't adapted to streaming as well. Maybe they will with time. I have no idea. And so every viewer counts, especially on an Xfinity Series and Truck Series, folks. Every eyeball counts. It doesn't matter if you're the 70 to dead clientele or 8 to 18. Every viewer counts. I don't think we should have any exclusive streaming series. I don't think that's I think you should have some. To kind of reach in between the middle, in my view. Some streaming, some regular cable. I think that you can mix and match there. And also, I hope NASCAR is prepared to really explain and go in detail and sell these streaming series, whatever one they join, for any length of time. Because again, the older generation watches NASCAR, loves NASCAR, and they have as much right to watch, and it should be as easy as possible and easily explained. Because I think a lot of times for the older generation, that this isn't as simple as flipping on my TV and hitting it on the guide. Why do I have to go through these 45 steps, pay 10 extra dollars? So I hope NASCAR is prepared to really sell that and explain that. Any thoughts on that, Colin, as far as the media rights deal go? Where are you on that?
See, I disagree with you. It's adapt or die.
You can't do that.
Fan base. Oh, behave. Oh, Loganity. There has to be some form of anity for my name, but we'll figure that out at a later date. But look, it's adapt or die. And if any series in NASCAR, any of the top three series deserve a streaming platform, It's honestly the truck series because more teams can get more money and more slice of the pie. Amazon just throws money at the truck series, and that series can actually become competitive. And it's very sad that, you know, some teams can't actually afford the truck series, or better yet, Amazon can throw money at the ARCA series because Greg Van Alst, who won Daytona opener because of wrecked race cars, he can't even complete the season. And he actually spent more money going to Daytona, getting ready for it, than the actual purse allotment that he won from. He's it's a negative series to even get paid. Like, ARCA series doesn't pay at all. You're losing money. You're just throwing money in a fire. It's going to be the future. Everyone's cutting cable. Everyone's going to streaming services. I don't even have a cable subscription. I have a YouTube TV subscription. To be honest with you, I think this is the future of the sport. Or better yet, if Amazon just threw money at NASCAR, say, hey, make a NASCAR channel and then have races on that with its own thing. I guarantee you, I think Fox would do a lot better if they had more money with their Cup Series races. I think for them, it's adapt or die. And that's what it's going to be. In 20 years, Fox and NBC will not have a NASCAR license. Guarantee it.
I agree with that.
They will all be Amazon or Netflix.
And I agree with that. And I understand where you're coming from. That is the future. I agree with that 100%.
Go to the future.
But you can have a middle ground to ease people there. That way the old – It won't be such a pivotal issue in 20 years because the people that are a little like us will be the older generation then, and we'll have adapted and been in this streaming platform. And I don't like the adapt or die mentality because NASCAR can't afford to alienate more eyes. That's not a good call. That's a backbone of the fan base that still clearly cares, because look at North Wilkesboro. They packed that son of a bitch. So it's just the reality of we have to cater to everybody. We have to find a way to get the middle ground. Look at it like WWE or any wrestling show. Not everything's got to be for everybody, but they have to have something for them. And if we just say, ah, screw you, you can't watch it all, that's a bad look.
I've got the solution, you guys.
Go ahead.
I've got the solution. Colin's losing it.
He's entitled to be wrong. I'm entitled to tell him how wrong he is. That's how it works.
Here's the solution. You put the truck series or the Xfinity series on Amazon or Netflix or whatever stream. I know it was reported Amazon was the one that they were talking with. Put it on Prime and simulcast it with the TV broadcast.
Why not?
For the first little bit, and have it be on Prime with no commercials. And the regular TV broadcast can continue doing what they're doing.
And we can ease our
way. People will migrate to the streaming service to get away from the commercials because they don't want to watch commercials. There's always scuttlebutt about commercials. Once they see the numbers moving over there, then bam, just move it right over to streaming.
I think that's perfect. I think, but give it another year or two.
This mic is attached, so I can't just drop it, but I would.
Yeah. I think that's perfect, but give it another year or two to let people, the older generation that can slowly adapt.
That is slowly adapting. You give them the option. If the old people
Adam, that was a shot at Colin, not you, Jesus.
How long has streaming services been around for? Humor me. For about like what, 10, 15 years?
A decade plus or so, yeah.
So if we are telling our older generations,
2006 is when Prime Video started.
Yeah, so you're telling us 2006, that's when the Bears last went to a Super Bowl, all right? That's when Peyton Manning was last good. Sorry, Denver Broncos fans. I'm just throwing that out there, all right?
That isn't true at all. That 2013 season was fire.
Doesn't matter.
Netflix started in 2007 doing their streaming.
Breaking his freaking neck, all right? That's what I'm just throwing that out there.
All right.
It's been since 2006. We're closer to 20 years of streaming services. And if people haven't gotten on board with the way things are moving towards, then I'm sorry, that's your fault. That ain't mine. But the majority of people, the majority of NASCAR fans, if a streaming service was offered tomorrow where it offered a full NASCAR catalog along with exclusive rights to one of the three series, I guarantee you it would be successful.
I'm not saying you're wrong, But that paints an unfair picture in my view because, yeah, streaming services are a decade-plus thing. But live sports on streaming service, we're still in the toddler stage at best. So
why don't we just like record all the races at the start of the year and then you can binge them? You could binge watch the truck series.
I've always wanted like a NASCAR network where we could watch old races. But anywho, we got to move it along. Sheldon Creed was given a 25-point penalty and a $25,000 fine for intentionally wrecking Sammy Smith. All right, I got a solution for this. Either stop intentionally wrecking people or stop admitting you're doing it. Pick one. There's no. All right, if you're going to do the guilty act, you might as well live with it like the rest of us sinners. All right, anywho, and Adam, I want to kick it to you for this one. JGR sold a minority stake in their team. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, they sold a minority equity stake to Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment and Arctos Partners. Honestly, that is part of the new ownership group that's going for the Washington Commanders as well. So, apparently a significant investment. I mean, I think anytime more money's coming into NASCAR, whether it's into the teams or into whatever, I think that's only good. So, I'm sure people will be maybe not too pleased that it's Joe Gibbs Racing because they're already a fairly well-funded team, but we'll see if that translates to, you know, even better results for them on the track. I'm not sure. We'll see.
How much money do you need? The answer is more, damn it.
Yeah.
Anywho, but good for Coach Gibbs. Obviously, we're getting a little more idea of what the future without Coach will look like someday. There was heavy reporting that Heather Gibbs has taken a bigger interest since her husband passed away. So I'm sure we'll touch on that more as more comes out. And finally, Eric Jones' penalty was upheld. The L1 penalty for him and Legacy Motor Club was upheld. They had that appeal today. Nothing changed, but it's because Jimmy's not a part of who he used to drive for, I guess.
those damn Yoders. That's what happened.
Just saying. All right, now it's time for our weekend preview.
Our weekend preview. Ah, it's beautiful.
I'd play that game. That's fun.
I'll tell you what, you are cantankerous tonight, Colin.
Man, I'm on a deadline. I have 4 articles to do by midnight.
We're still waiting on one for the website, buddy. Come on now. Come on now.
You might get one this. You might get 2 this Friday.
I hope so.
Who knows? IndyCar and F1 are back. We're in the summer stretch. It's going to be an amazing time. And also, I'm the only one here who's ever driven laps on the Chicago Street Course. So if anyone knows about the Chicago Street Course in this room, it's me.
Tell us about it, Colin.
I was going to say, I don't know, Jack.
It is horrible. I don't understand why NASCAR's – I understand why NASCAR's doing this. Like 70% of the tickets sold, you know, new NASCAR fans who's been in their first race, I get it. It's like the L.A. Coliseum. But this racetrack is narrow. You are not going to see passing. I guarantee you were to come back next Wednesday and say this was the most boring race of all season. And this will surpass North Wilkesboro in the terms of boring-ass races this season. Because of lack of passing, because literally it's just a 1-lane racetrack, and if someone wrecks, track's blocked. You can't go anywhere. There's no runoff areas. Like Danny Hamlin said on his podcast, he couldn't even get past turn 4 on his warm-up lap. Like he said he'll figure it out, but I don't know. I don't know if anyone's going to figure it out. Whoever wins, it's going to be like watching F1 at Monaco. For people who don't watch the Monaco races at F1, you're going to get a taste of what that's like. Where qualifying is going to be the most important thing. And then the race, no one's going to pass. Not a single person. I don't even understand why that guy came out from Project 91 to do a race in Chicago. Like, I get it. He's an Australian V8 guy, and he knows how to race these races. But he ain't going to pass nothing. It's kidney stones are going to be easier to pass than on Sunday. Guaranteed.
That's Shane Von Gisberg. Is that his name?
Yeah, Shane Von. I'm going to finish 38th because I don't know how to race these NASCAR next-gen cars.
Look, I hear you.
Gisberg.
Until I see it. I'm an optimist.
Did you watch the iRacing Pro Invitational Series?
No, I didn't watch the iRacing Pro Invitational Series.
Yeah, I remember they had Chicago Street as one of those races. And you want to know how it happened? James Davidson won that race, and Fox did not talk about him. You know why Fox didn't talk about him? Because he runs for Rick Ware Racing. And that is the closest Rick Ware Racing has gotten to win anything, professional in virtual world and real life world. because Rick Ware Racing sucks. I don't understand it. They hired Quinn Hall, for God's sakes, and look at him. He's garbage. He doesn't even race anymore because, you know, I agree with Kyle Busch. You know, we have people in the Cup Series who never even won freaking late model races, and they're running the Cup Series. I don't know how Quinn Hall got a ride. That has to be like the mattress firm of – Rick Ware Racing is the mattress firm of NASCAR, all right? It's there. You see a lot of them, but it's a money laundering campaign. Guarantee it.
Look, I'm going to – oh, my God. I'm going to – we might want to edit that out.
We're lying, baby.
I'm in.
I'm angry.
But any
– when it goes into syndication, you know, we'll have to
– I'm mad that we're not giving the Chicago Street Course a fair chance. We haven't seen it yet. And I know you played the iRace, and I know what they say on the simulator. But guess what? That ain't Coca-Cola, baby. It ain't the real thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. You very well, even more likely than not, could be right. But until we see it, how can we have such ferocity towards this is going to stink, this is going to suck, this is going to be bad? We haven't seen it yet.
If the race is good, I'll eat like hot dogs on air until I puke. I will get just do whatever you want.
Okay, but here's my caveat. Uh-huh. It can't be good based on what you say. It needs to be good based on a vote of this panel. Fair?
Should we use the Jeff Gluck poll? What's the minimum percentage of good?
It has to be above like 50%.
I was going to say 50% or higher. Fair?
Yeah, 50% or higher.
All right. All right,
I'll be making a bunch of accounts to vote yes.
Come back next week, and we'll see what happens. You know, there. Hey,
there's a guy from Canada, from Vancouver, just now.
He's got 100 Twitter accounts. What's going on?
He must really love Elon. Anywho,
okay, we're running out of time, you guys. We gotta get through this. We've been arguing too much today.
Is there such thing? That's good content. All right, Indy is going to be at Mid-Ohio. Any thoughts on that, Colin?
It's probably going to be the most entertaining race so far this weekend as we return to the beautiful landscapes of Mid-Ohio, the natural road course. And, you know, Penske has dominated this race the past couple of years. I say they're going to do it. Captain Kyle Kirkwood takes the win at Mid-Ohio. And for Formula One, we go to Austria. No one cares about Austria. I know Max Verstappen's going to win. We're looking towards next week, where we have F1's prestige event. It's not Monaco, but it's the Silverstone Grand Prix. I'm excited for that race. Can't wait for it. There's a lot of teams that are going to get upgrades for Silverstone, so we might see some different position changes. But who knows? Max Verstappen's getting bored winning all the time, and we may see him in World Endurance Championship or GT Racing. Hell, he may even come to NASCAR and dominate the series just like that, win a championship, and leave, baby. It's going to be a fun time. Max Verstappen gets the win. Kyle Kirkwood wins at IndyCar. I mean, just watch IndyCar race. If you want good racing, just watch that race. Don't watch Austria.
Let's watch all of them.
Watch the Xfinity race because that's just going to be demolition derby.
All right. So it is time now, thankfully, for our racing refresh picks. There we go. Adam, take it away. Give us the update.
What a beautiful, beautiful thing. I will say, yes, I picked Kyle Larson for Nashville. He came in P5. He got me the win for the week. So the scores as they stand, yeah, look at this. Moving on up here. I was having a rough go for a bit there, but, a couple good weeks in a row here. So what that means is we got to make picks for Chicago Street. Our first pick goes to producer Peggy. Whatever her name is, Peyton.
Yeah, we haven't seen her a lot today.
We haven't seen her much today.
No.
Who you got this weekend, Peyton?
She's giving the temple hand. She's thinking, praying to baby Jesus, the racing God.
Have I taken Truex yet?
Have you taken Truex? Let me see. Yes, you have. You took him at Richmond.
Larson.
You have not taken Larson yet.
Ooh, good one.
I'll take Larson.
All right. Next up is Mr. Loganity.
Mm. This is so tough because it's so wide open.
Yeah.
Just pick whoever you think is going to qualify the highest.
Sure. Have I taken the 51 car yet?
You have not.
Let's go Jensen Button.
51 is Andy Lally this week. Andy
Lally. Oh, we'll take him then. Yeah.
Okay. Colin, you're up next.
Who's the biggest name I have not taken yet?
Biggest name you have not taken. You got Chastain. You got, well, you can't take Larson now. You haven't taken Blaney, Briscoe, Truex, Tyler Reddick.
All right, taking Tyler Reddick. Look, this race is going to suck. And, you know, to be honest, these next-gen cars race like GT cars. And if anyone knows how to race a GT car, it's the Project 91 team. Even though I just said he wasn't have a shot, this race doesn't care. No one cares.
You can't pick Project 91. I'm sorry.
You can't pick 91.
We're picking just the chartered teams. Just the charters.
You let me pick Travis. You let me pick.
No, you picked someone who was filling in for Chase Elliott at the time.
That's the charter.
Yeah, you picked Jordan Taylor at Coda, but.
Yeah, bit me in the butt. You know, I'm gonna take Tyler Reddick. He's probably been the best road course racer all season.
I think it's a good pick, especially in the third spot there. Not bad.
All I know is if this race has a yellow flag with 10 laps to go, we're never gonna finish the race. We'll be talking about it on Wednesday at limited green light attempt number 84 or something like that.
We'll do some live commentary if it gets to that. I will take, you know what? It's gotta happen at some point. I'm going to take Harrison Burton.
Ooh, good luck.
Thank you. All right. There you go. That wraps up Racing Refresh picks for this week.
All right. That means it's time for closing time. Well, that's what we're working good.
I wasn't ready.
All right.
Producer Peggy,
final words.
I hope that Ryan Blaney feels better.
Oh,
I think he's
so sad.
She was so sad. She was watching the race, and I tell
you, voice.
She didn't. She literally almost didn't watch another. Like she was. She had it on. She was sitting here in my room, but she was looking at her phone for Ryan Blaney updates the rest of the race.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all.
Okay.
Yes, we hope Ryan Blaney feels better. Colin, I don't know what's going to happen here. Final words.
This race is going to freaking suck. All right, look, Chicago Street Course.
We haven't seen it yet, Colin.
It doesn't matter. It's the vortex theory of racetracks, right? We think it's going to work.
It works,
but there's no evidence that it works at all. Look,
anecdotal evidence suggests
street course racing is meant for Indy cars, F1 cars, and the occasional bicycle race, a la the Tour de France. All right, that's it. It's all you can put on streets. All right, and maybe just moped racing and some guy in like a Honda Civic thinks he's like hot stuff. You know, look, this race is gonna absolutely suck. And if this race gets above 50% people on the Jeff Gluck poll, I will eat my shorts. I will say I'm wrong. I will stay away from NASCAR. I'll just be the open wheel guy, and I'll just go away, and Adam and Logan can talk, yada, yada, yada. But I'm sorry if I have been cantankerous or rude or short-tempered today. It is not anyone's fault. I love every single one of you and everyone who's watching. Thank you for supporting us. It's just been a very long day. I got to go back over there and, you know, write a couple articles so I can get paid and let the people know what's going on in their world. But, you know, I get to spend the tomorrow with sea turtles. So, you know, things are great. And remember, throw away your straws, people. Plastic straws. Ruining this nation. Don't believe me. Ask that guy right there. Oh, boo, boo. But also, paper straws, they suck too. Just do the sippy cup lids from Starbucks. That's it. It's fine. It's fine to sip. Like you sip.
Colin, we're over our happy hour here. Let's, you know.
I've also drank this entire thing of water. I need to like go to the bathroom. So like okay. That, I'm just gonna like I'll right back.
I'll make it fast. Oh, he's literally just gone. Okay.
Yeah, you might wanna All right.
Fair enough.
All right, Adam. Final words while he's...
You always have me do my last words after Collins, and I feel like he always brings the heat, and it's hard to follow that. So I will just say happy Canada Day to our singular Canadian fan, who's probably just my mom watching. But happy Canada Day coming up on Saturday this week. And then I guess by extension, we've got a happy Independence Day to you Americans, because I think next week's show is on the 5th. Is that right? We're going to be past Independence Day by then. So,
oh God,
congratulations on your freedom, and have a lovely weekend, everyone. Looking forward to whatever comes your way. So that's all. Take it home, Logan.
Peter?
I won't be here next week, so I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
But if Ryan Blaney wins, you got to record something.
Okay. Last time you were gone, he won.
That was gold. Greetings, Earthlings. Anywho, it's time for my final words. Look, I'm not saying that Chicago is going to be the be-all, end-all. I'm not saying it's going to be a good race. I'm saying give it a fair chance. Can you imagine if Talladega and Daytona were never tried? Can you imagine if we just never tried something different? The same people that go, the sport is dying, go, stop trying gimmicks. Pick one. Can't have both. Because if the sport is dying, then it's time to try some gimmicks. If it's not dying, then you're just not happy. So with that, give Chicago a fair chance. And the high crime rate narrative is really boring, by the way. Every city in this country has a high crime rate. So let's not go there either. Let's give it a fair shot. I'm not saying it's going to be any good. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. Let's see what happens. People, give things a chance. Did you first like pizza? You know, you had to try pizza to like it. You had to. You had to try it. Let's just try it. So with that, I love each and every one of you for watching. I love everybody on this panel. I love the fact that Colin is a bad girl, it appears.
You silly goose.
With that, we'll see you next week after we take it to the streets. I'm gone.